Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition and episode of Quest Community Vibrations, Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I need to say that we are the oldest and the boldest youth radio program, which is now podcast. And I'm happy to announce that we will be returning safely to the airwaves of WSOU 89.5 FM HD starting September 12th at 7 a.m. Our same time, 7 to 8 a.m. And, of course, check out, which is what you're about to do, our podcast on Blog Talk Radio, which is online. And without any further ado, I'd like to say that to start our program, we want to say that this is a Quest moment. A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. Walter Pierce, our student host, makes them wave.
Another good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. And today I would like to start the show off with a diamond of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. So for today's diamond, I'll be reading a passage out of the book Freedom in My Heart. And the title of this paragraph, of these couple paragraphs I'll be reading, is Great Unity and Diversity. Africa is truly a vast place to call home. While at first glance it may appear to be a monolith, it is in good truth a spectacular mosaic. Its sheer size defies easy comprehension, though, and is not reflected by most traditional maps. At 11,668,545 square miles, it can easily hold the combined land masses of China, the United States, Europe, India, Argentina, and New Zealand within its borders. Despite this immensity, it has a relatively short coastline, lacking numerous inlets and harbors. It also rests on an elevated plateau, making access to the interior difficult. Africa is capped by coastal margins of Mediterranean-style ecosystems at the top and bottom. Long ago, a lush savanna, the barren slash of Saharan, Sahara, sub-Saharan South Africa, like a broad green belt at Africa's waist, the tropical rainforest forms the continent's heart and center. Below the equator, South Africa gradually transitions from rainforest to coastal climates, while the Great Rift Valley in East Africa reveals that the two tectonic plates on which the continent rests, the Africa and the Arabian plate, are gradually pulling apart. As a contemporary Ethiopian saying goes, we all fetch from the same river, meaning great rivers, the Nile, Niger, and Congo, also help connect chapters and vast history. The world's longest river, the Nile, runs through the contemporary countries of Egypt, Sudan, and Uganda. Historically, it may as well trace the primary path that human ancestors used to reach the other lands, and its route indicates that there was once a fluid exchange between Egypt and the ancient black civilizations of Kush and Nubia in the south. The Niger curves like a sky between the Guyana and coastal Nigeria thereby connecting sub-Saharan Africa with the Ikwilaru region. Its waters once supported the emergence of the great kingdoms of West Africa in Mali and Ghana, and acted as a conduit of the slave trade from the 15th century to the 19th century. The Congo, also a conduit of human chattel throughout the slave trade, connects the interior countries of the Democratic Republic of the Congo to Angola in the Atlantic Ocean. As noted by eminent African-American historian Carter G. Woodson, Americans and Europeans exploring Africa during the 1800s appear to have been on the outside looking at the continent through a glass darkly. This geographic remove may as well support myths and stereotypes of the dark continent, but in fact, the vitality, variety, and diversity of Africa's cultures is immediately apparent to those who live and learn about them firsthand. Consider the following: today, the continent has 10% of the world's population, 54 nations, more than 1,000 different languages, and several thousand different ethnic groups. It remains a vibrant, diverse cultural landscape, as it has been throughout human history. Thank you.
And why did you choose that particular excerpt from the book today?
You know, we have to, as I'm going to be doing for the next couple weeks and even longer, I'm going to be continuing reading different passages that connect to each other, that connect to each other and brings together one big message. And that's the message of the misconceptions of Africa and how Americans and Europeans have made false accusations and false claims about Africans to their people and citizens when they have little known research or little known facts about it because they've never been there firsthand. Rarely they've traveled, and the people who rarely traveled will keep making these misconceptions about how life was on Africa. And as it says here, it has one of the biggest rivers. It has over 11 million square miles, so it could fit countries like the United States, China, Europe, India, all inside of it. So it's huge. It's had room for a lot of different landscapes and, I would say, plateaus and landmasses. And Carter G. Woodson, he referenced that Americans and Europeans have been looking on the outside, looking at the continent through a glass darkly. And what I think that means is how people look like they think they know about something, like the country Africa. They think they know what's in it and how life is, but they really don't because they haven't been there firsthand. And that's what it means by looking through a glass darkly. They've been looking through something, and it's not really there, and they can't really see it because they haven't been there, and they constantly keep making these false claims about it. And I just find it's just something that's so shocking as I read through this, all the different things I still hear about Africa, and it's just so thank you.
Well, wait a minute, Walter. I have to ask another question. You know me, right? Was there ever a time when you looked at the man-made maps and thought that other countries throughout the world were larger than Africa?
No. I actually haven't.
Oh, so you've always known that the continent of Africa was large? As large as...
I've read in these books that it mentions in here, it mentions the size, and, you know, it talks a lot about it, I should say. But I've never physically looked on a map and just compared it, no.
Right, because when you look at a world map, it doesn't give the comparable size of what you are talking about. That's all I'm just trying to highlight that, you know. For people to not, you know, it's easy for you to overlook the immenseness of the continent of Africa. And while I say that, I want to quote Jane Elliott, who said that the Nile is not just a river in Africa. It is the Nile, not just in America, but maybe around the world, of the immenseness and the mosaic of the continent of Africa that you've just eloquently shared with the audience. And pardon me for just adding more to the point, and please continue.
Yes, and that will lead me into the definition of today, which is chameleon. And while I pull this up, I'm going to read the intro for definitions. This segment provides the listener words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And as I pull up the definition right here. Okay, so if everybody could give me a second, it's loading right now, and I'll have the definition for everybody. Chameleon is it. People, it's an etymology of the word. The word chameleon, as most people know it as a distinctive or highly specified clade of old world lizard in two different species. So basically, a chameleon, it's this main purpose. It camouflages itself with objects around itself to protect themselves from prey or from predators that are preying on them. So there's been an etymology of the word, a chameleon also, which the word chameleon, it means a person who changes their beliefs or their thinkings to please others. So I guess a sentence I could use is a political chameleon, or a person who is a political chameleon that just changes their political views or their thoughts about something just to make others feel or make themselves feel better. So when I look at the combination of both, like chameleon as the animal and chameleon as the just the word, the meaning, you see how it correlates, because they both try to change themselves to protect themselves, as you could say. A chameleon protects himself by camouflaging and throwing off its predators so that they could feel safe. A person who's a chameleon makes others feel good. They change their ways that makes them feel more safe or more comfortable. For example, if you have kids that are like, that feel like they have to change what they wear or how they act to please others, to please the other people at their school, or to make themselves feel safe, to fit into a group, that's a person who could be defined as a chameleon, because they want to please others and make themselves feel good so that they could feel safe. So that's how I correlated both of the words, and I guess that's the etymology of the words as well. Thank you.
Okay, and I would add another example would be a people who had to find their way in a different country and were forced to adapt their style and their creativity, their culture, a Eurocentric style, and to try to ride underneath the radar so that they did not have to become victim to the violence that occurred to a people in this country just to get along and just to get by. Are you going to share with us today a diamond?
Yes, and I'm getting that for everything together. So, you know, if anybody else on the call just has something to say or something they have to add to the conversation of what their feelings were, is you could do this at this time while I prepare this next segment for you.
Okay. All right. And so,
hello.
Yes, Val. How are you?
Hi. As I'm listening to his definition for chameleon, it kind of reminds me of what he read about one of the diamonds. I believe it was last week, either Wednesday or Saturday. It was Kraft, I think the lady's name was. And remember when he read about Ellen Kraft, he described how she dressed up as her husband's slave master in order to, you know, move them across the country away from slavery. So I guess you can think of it in those terms as well. When I was listening to your definition, Mr. Bay, how she, you know, changed and made herself to be a Caucasian male, to look like, you know, in order to transport her husband, who was a slave, you know, to a safer location.
Right. Absolutely. That's definite. I remember that particular segment and Ella Kraft, and it reminded me of the minstrel men who performed throughout the United States and became very handsomely rich. But as they traveled throughout the United States, they dressed down and they dressed apart. They did not dress up in suits. They did not, to use a more current term, they weren't blinging and bringing attention to themselves. You know, and so now we live in a different day and time where the bling is supposedly, quote unquote, attractive and has a lot of young people, unfortunately, chasing the wrong things in life because it's not just about the bling. It's really more importantly what's in between your two ears.
Yes, indeed.
Walter, yes, are you ready? Indeed.
Yes, and I would like to go into the diamonds of today, the person of today, which is Marcus Garvey. It starts by saying it was one of the most splendid parades ever. Trumpets blasted and drums beat. More than 50,000 people sang proud songs and said proud words. At the head of the parade marched Marcus Garvey in a uniform of purple and gold. Marcus and the thousands of black people who marched with him were proud of their African heritage. They believed that Africa was a great continent and that Africans were a great people. They were determined to help Africans regain its place in history. Marcus was born in Jamaica. In 1916, he came to the United States and established the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA, an organization that he had founded in Jamaica. He planned to build the black people's pride in the United States by encouraging black people to build a black nation in Africa. His movement was called the Black Back to Africa Movement. Marcus set up grocery stores, restaurants, and a newspaper. He also established the Black Star Line, a fleet of steamships that would return people to their homeland. Thousands of people sent him money. In 1925, the United States government accused Marcus of using the mail to cheat his supporters. He was put in jail, and his ships never sailed. Although his dreams failed, Marcus helped his people develop new feelings of hope and self-respect. He taught Black people that they could do things together if they believed in themselves and worked together. That's why many people call him a hero.
Okay, Walter, why did you choose Marcus Garvey?
You know, it's Marcus Garvey's birthday actually coming up, I believe, in the next couple of days. And, you know, I just, it's somebody that I never, of course, never did. I don't believe I've met Marcus Garvey before. And he has a unique story and a unique thinking of solving the African issue, African-American issue in America. And his thing was, we should actually go back to our home country and build nations together and build, be around our own people. And that was a very unique way of thinking. He, you know, he was different than a lot of other civil rights leaders who wanted to just bring equality and have equal rights in America. But he believed, oh, we should actually go to our own country and do this that we originated, start this ourselves. So I just admire that story of him. I like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you realize it or not, but he was deported back to Jamaica, and that's where he was born, in Jamaica. And they have statues and busts in recognition of Marcus Garvey in Jamaica today. And one of the things that's important to understand about Marcus Garvey is, although he came from Jamaica to America, he saw his people as one people. He didn't see a separation or a demarcation line between whether or not you came from Haiti, Jamaica, America, or Africa. He saw us all as one people. As the saying goes, the boat traveled to across the Atlantic Ocean, but a number of us got dropped off in different spots. But we still the same people, although we might have been dropped off in different places. Yeah, and so Marcus Garvey was, you know, when one of the things that I wrote today in introduction to your segment is Marcus Garvey prestiged the Black Lives Matter movement. And it is movements like Marcus Garvey that we draw upon from our past to build on for our present and our future. And I said, and you probably didn't read it, before there was a Black Lives Matter movement, there was a Marcus Garvey, right? And if we can't make it here, if we can't be accepted here, then gosh darn it, we'll go to our own country and make it happen, right? So Marcus Garvey was a very conscious individual about who he was and who his people are. So any last words for you? What do you have coming Saturday, in fact?
So coming Saturday, you know, Dick Gregory, actually, he passed away today. Just want to, you know, give a shout-out. Rest in peace to Dick Gregory. And on Saturday, I'll be doing a Diamonds on him. So tune in to hear the rest of it. And, you know, we have a time change. We're going to be doing the show on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So make sure if you get up a little earlier to tune in, listen, and always give your feedback throughout the show because it's greatly appreciated. And I just want to thank everybody for listening today.
And I hope to see y'all Saturday. Or hear y'all Saturday.
Okay. Thank you very much. And for line 1421, a quick shout out.
Hi, hello.
Okay. And who, what's your name?
Colleen.
Okay. And where
my
you
name is Colleen
from?
Rogers, yes.
Where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina in the house. All right. Stay safe down there. Thank you for tuning in and joining us today.
Yeah, I enjoy it every day.
Thank you very much. Val, I want to let you know that we have former mayor of Irvington, Wayne Smith, who should be joining us on Saturday to talk about the voting question that are on the ballot for November. And everyone on the line, I'd like to wrap up the show by saying that I do not agree with apathy. I think that everyone should get up off their behind in November and get out and vote. And if you have a problem, if you think that there are some particulars that are right for black people in America, then I think the only way you can express that is by getting out and voting. Not just because your ancestors died for it, the opportunity, but these people wouldn't work so hard to try to disenfranchise you out of your vote. Okay? So that's my stance. This will not be the last time that I make this statement, right? And I want to say also that just because you make statements on social media, it doesn't mean a thing. Get up off your butt, get out, and go vote and make a difference, because all politics is local. All right? Please forgive me, audience, but I had a moment where I just had to express that. And so I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And Walter, great job. And we'll see everyone this upcoming Saturday. And everyone, Quest Youth Radio is
the best youth radio.
Yes, thank you very much. And that ends this episode.